We're continuing our study in the book of Galatians, and tonight we're in chapter 3. We did the first 12 verses of chapter 3, and in those verses, the Apostle Paul was talking about justification by faith, that it was holy, justification is holy by faith apart from the law. And Paul contrasted the law and justification by faith. And in verses 6 through 9, as you recall, he gave a Old Testament illustration of justification by faith, that is Abraham. And he also said that those people who were under the law, who participate in the law, are under the curse of the law. And tonight we're going to look at verses 13 through 18. In this particular passage, Paul is talking to the Galatians about the curse of the law. And let's, you know, keep in mind what's going on in the Galatian churches at the time that Judaizers or false teachers, legalists, had infiltrated the Galatian churches. They had introduced this doctrine of keeping the law in order to be saved, that they made keeping of the law as part of the salvation. And the Apostle Paul, as you recall, was preaching justification by faith alone, by the grace of God alone, in Christ alone. And we know that that is the proper New Testament teaching that, we all understand in the Scriptures, apart from any law or any works. And in verse 13, in verses 13 through 18, Paul continues his discussion of that. So we'll start reading at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. First of all, in verse 13, Paul used that word redeemed. He said, Christ hath redeemed us. The word redeemed here means to buy out from the slave market so that the freed slaves may not be sold again. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by the shedding of his precious blood at the cross, he forgave us forever. He did buy us out from the slave market of sin. He purchased us, much as you would go into a store and purchase an item in a store and pay for it. And in verse 13, Paul said that the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, from the condemnation of the law. And we understand that we were sentenced to die. You remember Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But Christ died as our substitute. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the curse of the law was universal, for all people fell under its condemnation. And we see that that Paul in verse 13 is saying us, or is telling us, saying to us, and saying to the Galatian Christians, who are in need of this, dire need of this teaching, that Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And you recall that the Galatian Christians were, because of these false teachers, were trying to revert back to the Old Testament law. They were willing to put themselves back under the law after being saved out of it as Jews. And, you know, we have to keep in mind that the mindset of the Jewish people before they were saved, that their whole life, their mind was wrapped up in keeping the Old Testament law. It was part of their being. It was part of, it was a cultural, type of thing, and they were so intense on keeping the Old Testament law, and we have to remember that. And that when Jesus Christ died, he died and delivered us from the curse of the law. And one commentator said, in relation to this, he said the law, that is the Old Testament law, is just as cold, hard, and irresistible as the tablets of stone on which the Mosaic law was written with the finger of God. And I believe that sums it up. The law is just as cold, hard, and irresistible as the tablets of stone on which God's fingers wrote. And he says, he continues on, Paul continues on in verse 13, he said that that Christ was made a curse for us. Jesus Christ allowed himself to be cursed or condemned for us. He was made sin for us. And he also said in verse 13 that cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's a quote from Deuteronomy 21. And in this particular case, they're not talking about crucifixion, but they're talking about hanging of a body of a criminal that has been executed on a post or a stake. You know, a criminal during these times, or in the Old Testament times, when they were condemned to death, they were executed, they were killed. Their bodies were hung on a post or a stake for everybody to see. And under the Old Testament, it is said in the Old Testament that cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. When we see the dead body of our Savior hanging on a cross, we see his lifeless body there. We see that he voluntarily gave up his life, that he actually and truly died a physical death. That when Jesus Christ our Lord said, "It is finished," his physical body died as he was hanging on that cross for us. And that's where Paul said, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." The Lord Jesus Christ was, brother, sister in Christ, he was made a curse for you and me. He died a sinner's death for us. He was executed for us on that Roman cross. And Paul is telling the Galatians that the law does not have any hold over you anymore. It's the grace of God. God extends his grace to you as Christians in Galatia. And we have to, you know, remember that ourselves. That you and I don't have to put ourselves, we don't have to revert back to keeping the Old Testament law. We're saved not by the law, but by the grace and mercy of God. Isn't that great? That's a wonderful thing. And for these Jewish Christians, these believers in Galatia, in the Galatian churches, who Paul went into these cities, he preached the gospel to these people, they were saved, they formed a local assembly of believers. And Paul instructed them and taught them in the ways of walking with Christ. And here comes these false teachers. Here comes the Judaizers telling them, well, you can't do that anymore. In order for you to be truly and really saved, you've got to keep the Old Testament law. And you see what an impact that has on the faith. You know, for us, and I've mentioned this before, if somebody came to Northgate Chapel and told you and me, well, we've got to start keeping the Old Testament law as a Christian, you know, we would think that guy's a lunatic or a crackpot. But see, the keeping of the Old Testament law was so ingrained in the believers there before they were saved that when a teacher came and told them that they had to keep the Old Testament law, they were confused. They were upset. They were in disarray because of this. And the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the Galatian Christians to correct this horrible truth, or an untruth, I should say. This horrible untruth, this lie, this deception about the Galatian Christians reverting back and keeping the Old Testament law. But Paul continues on in verse 14. He says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Well, what is the blessing of Abraham? Well, that would be justification by faith. And Paul talked about that previously in chapter 3. And the Gentiles receive the same blessing, that is, justification by faith, through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, Christians are justified by faith just like Abraham was. And, of course, we have to understand in the Old Testament that people were justified by faith, but there's something I failed to mention the last time, and somebody brought that to my attention, that they had to have faith, but this person was asking me, well, what do they have to have faith in? Well, they have to have faith in the shedding of blood, that the animal sacrifice covered that the Jews in the Day of Atonement, that animal sacrifice would cover their sins. And Abraham, you know, if we go back to him as an Old Testament illustration, he was justified by faith. It's the same doctrine in the New Testament. And, you know, as we recall, we looked at that doctrine in Romans 4. But the apostle goes on, he uses Abraham again in Romans 4 as an Old Testament illustration of justification by faith. Now, in verse 14, Paul says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Well, the Gentiles receive the same blessing as Abraham, that is, justification by faith. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You know, that gift of the Holy Spirit comes to all who accept Christ through faith. We understand that the moment of our conversion, the moment we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God comes and indwells us. That is a prominent New Testament teaching, especially in the book of Romans. And we know that, and we understand that. But Paul is going over again with these Galatian Christians what happened to them when they believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And, you know, you recall that we talked about, Paul talked about, the last time we looked at this, that the Galatian Christians did not receive the Spirit of God through keeping the Old Testament law. And we've talked about that's impossible to do. You cannot, for instance, you can't keep the Ten Commandments and receive the Spirit of God. You just can't do that. That's impossible. And the Apostle Paul was telling the Galatian Christians that you must believe, have faith in Jesus Christ. And believing that His sacrifice for our sins, that He paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. And then after that, you receive the Spirit of God. And keep in mind, the Galatian Christians were hung up. They were truly hung up on keeping the Old Testament law. And in verse 15, Paul says, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto." Now, Paul here, he says, "I speak after the manner of men." He's giving a human illustration to the Galatians of a spiritual truth. And in this particular case, verse 15, he's talking about a last will and testament that is drawn up and it's confirmed or it's ratified in the legal process. And of course, we understand that a will, we call it a will, in which you draw up a will and you instruct under the law, your inheritors or the people who inherit the things, your possessions, you instruct them that, well, this is going to be divided to this person and this is going to be divided to that person. We call that the last will and testament. And Paul is saying this is a legal document. You know, people think that a will is something that, well, you could just write that, you know, you just tell people what you want. Well, the last will and testament is a legal document. It has to go through a legal process. And if I were to make a will, and I would denote probably family members that, you know, you're going to get this and that. And then if any of you want to mention me in your will, that's fine. Not a problem. I'm, I'm kidding. But Paul here is using this, he's using this human illustration of that, the last will and testament, and he says no man disannulleth it. That means no one can make this will and testament void. Nobody can add anything to it. Nobody can take anything away from it. Nobody can change it. Nobody can alter it in any way. In other words, if I make a will, you can't come and take that will and change it. That's illegal. You can't do that under the law. I can change it, but you can't. My family members can't do it. Well, Earl, you didn't leave me your car. I'm going to go back and change your will. Well, you can't do that. You know, it's a binding legal document. The truth that Paul is trying to illustrate to the Galatian Christians here is that no one can add to, no one can subtract from God's promise to Abraham, as the Judaizers were trying to do. When God told Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations, and from you, and we'll talk about this in a minute, that the Messiah is going to be one of your seed, that's a promise that God made to Abraham. Nobody can add to that promise. Nobody can alter it. Nobody can change it. And certainly God himself will not change that promise. And God says his promises can't be changed by human means. It's just like that will and testament, last will and testament. And like I said, the only one who could change my will is me. You can't do that. Nobody can change God's promise to Abraham. God might, but he won't. Because we understand in the scriptures, when God makes a promise, he keeps all his promises, all of them. When God made that promise to Abraham, the only thing that people could do is refuse to believe it. That's all they can do. They can't change it. Can't be changed. So we see here that Paul is illustrating that spiritual truth by a human illustration. And in verse 16, he says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. I found verse 16, that was a toughie for me. I had to look at about 20 commentators and four or five Bible versions to understand that. It's a tough verse to understand. But let's look at it. First of all, in verse 16, he says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now, he's talking here about one in verse 16. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, plural. Abraham's seed is one person. In this particular case, Abraham's seed is singular, not plural. He's talking about one specific person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel. And he says, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Jesus Christ is Abraham's seed through our Savior, and through which our Savior was the fulfillment of all of God's promises. When we see the person of Jesus Christ, when we look at him, we consider him, he is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. And in verse 16, we see that Abraham was made a promise to by God. We understand that this promise cannot be voided by human means. We saw that in verse 15. And we see that this promise came through Abraham's seed, not seeds. It's singular. In this particular case, we're talking about one person. That is the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 16. And verse 17, Paul continues on. He says, in this I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. You know, God's promise to Abraham was unconditional. It didn't depend on works. And God agreed to give Abraham a seed, that is Christ. And though he had no child at that time, Abraham believed God, and by believing, he was justified by God. And we see that in Genesis 15. I believe that's the right chapter. By believing, he was justified. That is justification by faith. And remember, we talked about the definition of justification or being justified. It is God declares a guilty sinner not guilty. God declares an unrighteous person righteous, if you want to use that terminology. And justification by faith. And Abraham, Abraham had a choice. He didn't have to believe God. He could have said, well, Lord, I'm not going to believe all that stuff about you. I'm not going to, you make that promise to somebody else. I just don't believe it. Abraham could have done that, but he didn't, did he? He exercised faith. He exercised faith. And by believing, he was justified. And Paul says in verse 17, 430 years later, after that, the law came. The Old Testament law came into being, but the Old Testament law could not disannul. He used that word disannul. It means to nullify, basically, is what disannul means. The Old Testament law came 430 years later, but it could not nullify God's promise. There's nothing in the Old Testament law that will ever, ever void God's promises. And that was not the purpose of the giving of the Old Testament law. And Paul talks about that in this chapter, in a few verses later. But we see that God's promises to Abraham was unconditional. It didn't depend on works. God's promises to us, the Apostle Paul in Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Yeah, you'll be saved. That is an unconditional promise by God to us, and it doesn't depend on any works at all by us. You know, and the Galatian Christians were confused about that. They didn't understand that the false teachers had confused them. The Judaizers, the legalists, had confused them in regards to the Old Testament law. And the Galatian Christians there were confused about grace versus law. And Paul was trying to correct that horrible, deceitful lie. And that's what it was. It's a lie. And you know, I mentioned also before that there are people out there today who are saying, well, in order to be saved, you got to be baptized, you got to receive the Holy Spirit, and you got to speak in tongues. Do you see how deceitful that is? And I made the comment, you remember what I said, if a preacher came here at Northgate Chapel and said, I'm going to preach the gospel to y'all today, and the gospel is you're going to get baptized, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, and you're going to speak in tongues, and you're going to be saved. You think people are going to be saved by believing that garbage? And that's what it is. It's trash. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to be careful about what we hear. You know, we may think that other people are believers or Christians, because they believe, they place their faith and trust in a false gospel. I'm getting off the subject a little bit, but I want to bring that up for you to remind us of the fact there are people out there who profess to be saved, and they're not saved because they haven't gone to the cross. They haven't gone to Jesus Christ. They've got to do something. They've got to do, like, get baptized. They've got to speak in tongues. They've got to receive the Holy Spirit, whatever that is. And by believing that, they think they're saved, and they're deceiving themselves. They're deceiving themselves. So we have to be careful when we talk to people about salvation and pin them down exactly what, when you say salvation, what are you talking about? What are you basing your salvation experience on exactly? But anyway, moving along to verse 18, the last verse we're going to consider. Paul says in verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. The messianic blessing that a Messiah was going to come to the nation of Israel did not come by way of the law. it did not come by the way of the law, but God gave it, as Paul says in verse 18. God graciously granted his promise to Abraham as a free gift with no strings attached. No strings attached. You know, God didn't say, well, Abraham, listen, you can believe in my promises, but there are two or three little stipulations there, two or three little things here that we need to clear up, and then after that, you'll be justified by faith. You know, God didn't do that. God didn't say that. God didn't put he did not put one stipulation on his promise to Abraham. Not one. Not one. And by promise, in verse 18, Paul says, that phrase by promise, God's promise alone plus nothing. The Judaizers insisted that law and works were supreme and that grace and faith were not. You understand what I just said? Let me repeat that. The Judaizers, the false teachers, were insisting that law and works were supreme and that grace and faith were not. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, that grace and faith supersedes law and works. Okay? And I think we all understand that. And you know, one of the great things about being a believer, a saved person, is that God says, if you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, my Son, if you believe that his death on the cross, his sacrifice, the shedding of his precious blood on the cross, paid the penalty in full for your sins, I will forgive your sins and I will give you eternal life, no strings attached. You and I are bought free and clear, brother, sister, Christ. We don't owe anything to God. He paid it all for us. And we belong to him, thank God. And we don't have to, as I said before, there are people out there who are literally working themselves to death to please God, to make themselves acceptable to God. How sad. How sad. And some of you were in that category, you know. You tried to be a good person. You tried to be a decent person. You tried to live a clean life. You tried to obey the Ten Commandments. But, you know, that will not make a person acceptable to God. You know, and Paul brought this fact out to the Galatian Christians the last time we talked about it. And it's great to know that if we understand what the grace of God is, that it's by the grace of God alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, and nothing else, nothing else. And these poor Galatian Christians were so confused, they were so puzzled and perplexed, they were upset by this false teaching. And Paul had spent so much time among these dear ones in Christ, these dear Christians, instructing them and teaching them, encouraging them, being with them, and helping them, and strengthening them spiritually, and have to come back and hear these Judaizers saying, well, you got to go back to the Old Testament law. Brother, sister, Christ, do you want to go back to the Old Testament law? I don't. I don't want to live like that. I want to live under the grace of God. And that's what we're doing. That's how we live our Christian life, is through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Well, our time is up, and we'll pick it up next time in verse 19, and Lord willing, we'll finish chapter 3 out. And I believe Gene has some prayer requests.